got the team set up. We got the two teams set up. We got the different zones set up for them. We explained the rules of the game and the strategy and how it was going to work. We handed out the glow sticks, which were going to be the bounty that they were going to win and try and capture from the opponent. And then we said, go. Now, I need to point out a few more things here. It was pretty much a brilliant night to run this game because it was pitch dark. There was no moon out. There were no lights out in the park at all. There were no stars. It was absolutely pitch dark. And as I said, it was a park picnic area. So there were food shelters, picnic shelters with tables and chairs. There were brick barbecues. There were taps. There was a pile of firewood. Now, what I thought would happen in my mind when I said go is that the kids would go into stealth mode and they would get down on hands and knees and they would crawl through the park, you know, sneaking up on the opponent without being seen or heard and, you know, go and capture the flag. Some kids did do that, thankfully. There were a number of kids, though, that didn't want to play it that way. I didn't even comprehend how they were going to play it. But when we said go, they ran. They ran as fast as they could possibly run. They were so passionate and so excited for this game, they ran with all of their might. We had one kid who ran straight into a tap, cut his knee open. Someone ran into one of the picnic tables and bruised themselves, and one kid ran into a pile of firewood and cut up and splintered his legs. It was also something I didn't cotton onto is actually having a camp doctor. I only picked that up once we came here to St. Paul's. Brilliant idea, have camp doctors. Anyway, I had a first aid certificate, and so I had to clean up my mess quite literally. That was one of the mistakes that I made as a youth minister. Last week, we looked at running. John opened up our series here. It's called Run, and we are looking at running the race that God has marked out for us as his followers, running passionately, running to declare his glory, as it says there in Hebrews 12, verse 1, running with perseverance, the race that God has marked out for us. John said that we are to run straight, we are to run with others, and we run over Jesus at our peril. Of course, as we think about running, often we actually find ourselves more in the situation of the kids on that camp in life. We find ourselves in the complete dark. We can't see how our health is going to turn out. We don't know where our job is heading. We don't know what the economy is going to be like and therefore what our financial situation is going to be like. We don't know what our grades are going to be like. We just can't see the path that God has for us. And instead of us being like some of those crazy kids who just run in the dark, instead we grope around through life. We shuffle tentatively as we go through our Christian walk, only moving once we've felt it and touched it and know exactly what it is that is in front of us. I only have this much money. I only have these gifts. I only have this much time and energy. And so if we live our Christian life like this, we will sit back and watch life go by, life that is truly life, the life that God has for us. We will sit back and watch it and grow fat, and we will not make a difference in this world, and God will not be pleased with us. This is not running as Hebrews 12:1 calls. This is not running with perseverance, with throwing off everything that hinders us. This is, in fact, what it says in Hebrews 10, verse 39. This is shrinking back. This is shrinking back. And so tonight, I want to encourage us that as we are called to run this race as Christ followers, that we can run confidently when we cannot see. Run confidently when we cannot see. Not a false confidence, not a recklessness like some of these teenagers in Brisbane and end up running and cutting a knee open on a tap. But running confidently because when you cannot see, you can still be certain of what is in front of you. Because we trust in a God who knows and does see. The passage that we're going to have a look at here tonight gives us the spiritual night vision goggles that we need so that we can run this race that is marked out for us. As John shared last week, the image of these chapters here is that we've entered a great stadium and we're running our Christian life in front of a great audience of spectators, those that have gone before us in the faith. And so this chapter, chapter 11 here, is them cheering us on, giving us words of encouragement as we run this race. And so we turn to the next section in Hebrews chapter 11 here, and we hear from a few different people as they cheer on their encouragement. We look at the lives of Abel, of Enoch, and of Noah. And so Alex is going to read that section to us now.
Starting at 10:35 in the Bible, not the time. Just to be clear. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And now to chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us.
Thank you. We can run this race with perseverance. We can run this race with confidence, even though we cannot see, because we trust in God. There are two reasons that this passage shows us that we can run with confidence. The first is that we are assured of the future. It's there in 11 verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. We base our lives on things that we hope for in the future. We make decisions, we take actions, our life is given purpose and direction because of things that are going to happen in the future. But we cannot see those things. They are unseen to us because they haven't happened yet. We hope that they will happen, but we base our lives on them now because we are certain that they will. For example, when you are pregnant, you cannot see yourself having the baby. But you take action, you make decisions now based on that certain hope that you have. You're setting up the nursery, you're choosing names, you're avoiding soft cheeses. Because of the certain hope that you have in having a baby. When you're getting married, when you're going through marriage preparation, you cannot see your wedding day because it is in the future. But you're taking action now and making decisions, and your life is being given hope and meaning and direction because of that thing that is coming up in the future. The hope, the certain hope that we can have in future events also helps us to say no to despair that we can face right now in the present. Women can say no to the despair that morning sickness brings because you know at the end of it, it's not going to last forever. And at the end of it, you're going to hold a beautiful little baby in your arms. Husbands-to-be, you don't have to despair now either, because shopping for flowers will not last forever. Shopping for stationery, for ribbons, for confetti, for bows, for just the right book to have at the reception for your guests to sign, and the pen that matches exactly. Shopping for these things will not last forever. You do not have to despair, because you look forward to the day that you'll be united with your beautiful bride and live with her forever. In the same way, as Christians, we have a certain hope in things that we do not see right now, but they enable us to run now and to not despair. We cannot see our salvation. We cannot see our inheritance. We cannot see the new heaven and the new earth. We cannot see an end to all suffering, but we know they are true. We are certain of them happening because God has promised them. So these things can give us purpose and direction now in our life. We can take decisions and take action now because of this. We do not despair now when we are facing suffering. We do not despair now when we face financial ruin. We do not despair now when we are mocked and ridiculed, because we have a certain hope in something that is unseen, but we know it will come. We can run the race with perseverance. We can run the race with confidence that is marked out for us. We can run it with passion. We can run it for God's glory, because though we cannot see the future, we know God and we have a certain hope in Him. The second reason that we can run the race with confidence is that we are certain of things now that we cannot see. Verse 1 goes on to say, and we are certain of what we do not see. There are things in the future that we cannot see, but there are things in this world now that we cannot see. They are invisible, but they are nonetheless real. We are talking here about spiritual realities, a whole different dimension to our life that we cannot see and experience with our physical eyes. But there's God, His power, the angels, His Holy Spirit living inside of us. These things are true now, though we cannot physically see them. And faith is being certain of these things and therefore acting now accordingly. We can view situations with different eyes. There's a great story in the Old Testament where the Arameans were coming up against the Israelites. They were making war against them. And God was speaking to the prophet Elisha, and he was telling them what the Arameans were doing. And so the Israelites kept avoiding them and getting away from them. And so the Arameans found out about this, and they wanted to capture Elisha and stop him from doing that. And let me read to you from 2 Kings chapter 6. Then they sent horses, this is the Arameans, sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. This is where Elisha was. When the servant of Elisha got up and went out the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all round Elisha. See, there's things going on in this world that we cannot see with our physical eyes. But we can run the race that is marked out with us with confidence because we know that they exist. What difference does it make to the way that you play computer games when you know you have the cheat code for unlimited lives? You play with confidence. You play with bravado because you know you cannot die. What difference does it make to the way you go shopping knowing that you've got an unlimited credit card that you don't have to pay back? You will run through the towers with confidence and bravado, shopping till your heart's content. What difference does it make to know that God's Holy Spirit is living inside of you with all of its power and comfort and wisdom and guidance? What difference does it make knowing that when you face exams, when you face a job interview, when you sit next to a relative whose health is slowly slipping away from them? What difference does it make? It must make the world of difference, knowing that things that you cannot see are still true now, and therefore running the race that you have marked out for you, running with confidence, running so that God is glorified. The passage then goes on to show us a few examples of how faith like this can be and is lived out. The first there is talking about creation. By faith, we believe that God created everything that we see out of nothing. We weren't there when God created. We cannot physically see it. But by faith, we trust that all that we see is not purely an accident, but there is a loving, powerful creator who brought everything into existence. And so we can run confidently now, knowing that we are not just random acts of chemical mutation, but that our lives have been played out for us or ordained for us by a God who created us and who knows us. It goes on to talk about Abel and Enoch, and we don't know much about these guys apart from a few sentences in the Old Testament, but they lived in a time before God revealed himself to his people and before he revealed himself through his written word. But even though these guys didn't see God, they responded to him in faith. Abel brought an acceptable sacrifice to God. And it says that he pleased God. God was pleased with his act of worship. He came with all of his heart to sacrifice to God. Enoch, it says, walked with God. What an amazing statement. Enoch walked with God, and as he did so, God was pleased with him. Wouldn't it be amazing to have, at the end of your life, it was described as you walked with God. That you didn't just visit him when it was convenient to you, but day in, day out, we walk with God. Even though we can't see him, we do it in faith. It then goes on to talk about Noah, which is probably a more familiar story to us. Noah lived at a time when the Bible describes as all men were evil in their thoughts towards God. And God came to judge the world by sending a worldwide flood to wipe men out. But he chose Noah and his family to save them, that he might continue the human race. And this is the summary that's here in Hebrews. Noah was warned about things not yet seen, yet in holy fear he built the ark to save his family. In short, Noah heard God and obeyed. But just imagine, put yourself back in Noah's position there. It had never flooded like that before. They probably had never seen a flood or knew what a flood was. So when God tells Noah this, he's not automatically, he knows what God's talking about. I grew up in a town in Queensland called Gympie, and it flooded a lot. Many, many times when I lived there, it flooded. And we just went into flood mode when the town flooded. We just, you know, packed things away. The flood came and cleaned up and put things back. Everyone knew what to do in Gympie in a flood. But in this situation, Noah, the people didn't know what to do. They didn't never had a flood before. And so God here is telling Noah about this. And you can imagine the confusion that he has, never having seen this before or experienced it before. And secondly, you can imagine the ridicule that Noah is facing here as he starts building a boat, nowhere near water, no chance of it looking like flooding, whatever that is. You can imagine the ridicule that he's facing from his fellow people. Yet Noah obeyed God. Noah pleased God. It says here in Genesis 6, verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded. Though he couldn't see, though he couldn't understand everything that was going on, he heard God, he believed him, he trusted him, and therefore he acted in faith. And so I guess the question after those examples there is what about us? What about us here today in Castle Hill in 2012? What is your ark? What is the thing that God is calling you to do? Yet you're saying to God, I don't know what an ark is. I don't know what a cubit is, how long that is. I don't know how to build that. You know, look, in fact, look outside, God. It's not even raining. It's not even cloudy. It's a beautiful sunny day. Why would I need to build an ark? People are going to laugh at me. It's going to look ridiculous. Why would I do that? What is it that God is calling you to do? That though you cannot see and understand everything, he still wants you to do it. When I finished university, I got my first job with Queensland Cement as a graduate accountant. I was living the accounting dream. One of the other graduate accountants there at the time was a girl named Sharon, and she was a Christian as well. I didn't have much to do with Sharon. She worked in a different department and often in a different office location. But I remember her coming to me one time after I'd been there for a while, and she explained to me that she had resigned that day and she was moving on. I said, oh, that's a shame. Where are you going? And she said, you know what? I don't know. I just felt that God had told me that my time here at QCL was finished and that I needed to resign, but he hasn't yet told me what the next step is. Now, from a worldly point of view, that was a crazy, ridiculous thing to do. You don't quit a job until you have the signed contract for the next position. QCL would have looked after her really well. It was a great company to work for. She would have gone up through the ranks. She was an amazing accountant. She would have been looked after. She would have had opportunities right around the world to do this position and to work for them. But she heard from God, who said, it's time to finish at QCL. Time to move on, without her having to see everything that was out there in front of her. And so what is it that God is calling you to do in this life as you run the race that he has marked out for you, that maybe you're going, whoa, until I get all the facts, until I get all the figures, until I understand everything and I see it clearly before me, I am not taking a step, God. Perhaps he's calling you to serve in an area of ministry here at church, and you don't think that you have the skills and you don't understand how you would fit into that ministry context, yet you have this feeling, sign up for this, sign up for this. Will you step out in faith, though you don't have all the answers, and trust God? Maybe God has placed on your heart to increase your giving here at church as we, you know, had our faith building series last year and we all commit to what we're going to give. Maybe he was laying a figure on your heart and you're like, God, I don't know how I'm going to afford that. And so you haven't moved in that direction yet because you can't see it all and work out how it's all going to play out there. Or maybe it's something even more radical like that. You've heard about the church plant and the Ropers over in Germany, and that stirs your heart. Or you hear about Nairobi or Thailand and the links that we have there. And you think God is stirring you in that direction, but again, you don't know how it all plays out. You've got a family here, or you're still doing uni, or the money, you can't see. And so you're just holding back a little bit. You're just shuffling through life. Will you run the race that God has marked out for you? Run it with confidence and run it with perseverance, though you cannot see. What is it that God is calling you to do that you are not doing for lack of faith? We can be sure of the future. We can see things now that are unseen because we have a faithful God who promises. So therefore, we can run. We can run because we can see the end and we can see with our spiritual eyes what is going on now. And it's only that sort of faith, with that sort of faith, that we can please God. Because it says in the passage there that without faith, without that sort of faith, it is impossible to please God. And I tell you what, I want to live my life only to please God. Trying to please anyone else is simply not worth it. I want to live my life to please God because it's only God in the end that matters. I want to get to the end of my life and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear that from anyone else but God. And it's only with faith that we can run that sort of race. Maybe there's some of you here tonight visiting us that don't know this God that I speak of, that don't know the Creator that loves you and that made you. It's interesting, this chapter passage here also tells us how we can get to know him. It says there in Hebrews 11, verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We often like to think that there's a lot more things in there that we need to do. We'd like to read it this way maybe. Because anyone who comes to him must first clean up their life, must first sort out all the mess, must first get everything together, must first get rid of the piercings and the tattoos and cut their hair and wear a three-piece suit. But it simply says to come to know this God, you must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And if you don't know him tonight, then I urge you to start that journey. Ask anyone that you've seen here on the platform tonight, anyone who jumped in the tank here tonight, would love to tell you about Jesus. You just need to believe in him and believe that he will reward those who earnestly seek him. And the reward that you get by seeking God is that you find him. He will be found when you seek him. And that is the greatest reward that we can have, to know our God, to be known by our God, to be in his family forever. That's the sort of faith we're talking about here. When you know God and you know the future that he has for you and you know the reality of him in your life now, then we can run. Then we can run whatever God has called us to do. We can run because we know him. Let me finish with this illustration. I'm a huge fan of The Amazing Race, though I've just got into a new show, very similar, Expedition Impossible. And the most recent episode or series that I saw had a team in there called No Limits. Three guys, Eric, Ike, and Jeff. Eric is blind. has been blind since he was 13 years old. And these guys ran a fantastic race. They completed all 10 stages and got to the end and came second. The illustration would be greater if he came first, but they came second. They did not get eliminated in any way, shape, or form. Had it have been an individual race, Eric would have got not much further off the starting line than a few steps. But the enduring image I have of that team is the photos that you see up on the screen there, with Eric holding on to the back of Jeff and running. Running with all of their might. He could not see a thing, but he trusted his best friend in front of him. He couldn't see where they were going. He listened as he said, "Rock on the left, big step here, duck here." And they ran, and they ran a fantastic race. He held on to Jeff, couldn't see a thing, and just ran. And that's the picture that I would love to have for us, running our Christian race. We can't see everything that's going on, but we have someone who is far greater than Jeff standing in front of us, guiding us. We have the God of the universe who knows everything, who is all powerful. And the call is simply to hold on to him, put the head down, and just run. Will you do that?